scream loud. Praise God. Praise God. We have the victory. We have the victory. This choir has blessed us on this morning. We have been blessed from on high. The youth have blessed us this morning with their presentation. We have been blessed with the presentation about Jesse Gooding. That lets us know that we're standing on a strong foundation here at Tabernacle. Praise God. Praise God. This choir has just been off the chain today. It really has. And our orchestra, I don't call them a band no more. Our orchestra sounding good. All we need is a bass and a violin and we be gone. Where is it? A stand-up bass. I know you got that one. Everybody know you got that one. Praise God. Glory to God. I have one quick announcement. Sister Marilyn Parrish answered the call and went on to live with the Lord. And her services will be here on March the 6th. We don't have a time yet, but it will be here on March the 6th. So please pray for their family. Please pray for their family. To God be the glory. I'm just glad to be in this service one more time. Just one more time. First, give honor to God, who is truly, truly the head of my life. Without him, I can do nothing. Without him, I am nothing. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God, for just keeping me. I ask special blessing upon the media department. They keep everything rolling. Yep. Yes, they keep everything rolling. And a special blessing to our director, Sister Ruby Pruitt. And our co-director, Sister Jackie. Sister Jackie. Because, you know, everybody don't want to do what they do. You know, because COVID is still out here. And to continue to change things, to make it better, to keep you from getting ill, that's just a blessing. So we need to pray their strength and pray their health. Pray their strength and pray their health. And thank you to the deacons for giving me this opportunity one more time. I want to just pray for a minute here. Even now, Lord, even now. Lord, I ask that you would bless me to articulate your word so that every ear and every heart in this building would hear what you have sent me to do. I ask you to bless the word. From the pulpit, from the choir to the door, I ask you to bless it and meet the need, Lord Jesus. I ask a special blessing upon this congregation, Lord, that you continue to hover and to heal, Lord Jesus. Continue to keep a hedge around us, Lord. Continue to keep your spirit within us, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I do pray. Thank God and amen. Only God can make a day. And if he gives you that day, he is surely going to give you the bread that you need for that day. Amen. I have one scripture for today. So if you don't mind standing for the reading of the word of God. And it's in Mark, the 2nd chapter and the 14th verse. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, whose name is Matthew, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and followed him. Bless the word. Bless the reading and hearing of God's word. You may be seated. Thank you. For a title today, I would like to give it the words of single-minded obedience. Single-minded obedience. Today is February 26th. It is now 42 days until Resurrection Sunday. Some people don't count how many days it is to Resurrection Sunday. Some people count how many days it is to the 4th of July, how many days it is to Thanksgiving or to Christmas. But Resurrection Sunday is my favorite holiday. And so I get, as Deacon Royce would say, on tiptoe anticipation, waiting for Resurrection Sunday. So I'll be counting it down. I go to the calendar, the internet, and find out, well, what day is it going to be on this year? And I start counting it down. It's, or you could say it's 1 month and 11 days, or 6 weeks. But my question today is, how are you preparing for this day? Is it just a distant day that you know is coming? Are you thinking about what are you going to wear? Are you thinking about what hat you're going to wear? Because I would be thinking about that. Are you preparing your spirit to celebrate a Friday, which we call good, and an Easter Sunday, which we call Resurrection Sunday? Are you preparing your spirit for this great celebration? That's just a thought, something that I will ask you to think about later on when you get home. How are you preparing? How are you preparing for Resurrection Sunday? We have all had one heck of a time these last few years. We've had COVID. We had house arrest. We had vaccination warnings. We had vaccinations. We had a new variant, another vaccination, a booster, a new variant, a booster, and now they're saying another booster is coming. Just keeping up with this new health record is more than a notion. So much to concentrate on, just trying to live. Living has become harder since 2019. Now, to concentrate on the kingdom of God is just putting a little extra on our plate. Sometimes you might say that's too much on my plate. I'm doing the best I can. I'm trying to stay healthy. I'm trying to get to the church. I'm doing the best I can. To come out to the house, sometimes it's a whole lot. We was in lockdown too long. So coming out that door to get to the church, fighting an enemy that you cannot see, it's a whole lot. And I understand it, because it's a whole lot for me too. Sometimes I feel like we have forgotten our original purpose. Our original purpose is to go ye therefore. That was the charge that was given to us, to go ye therefore. It's hard to go ye therefore when you're scared to step out on the porch. It's a hard thing to do. The scripture says that as he passed by, he saw Levi or Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth and said, follow me and be my disciple. And so he got up and went. He just got up and followed Jesus. Levi was a tax collector, or he worked for the IRS. But he gave up this lucrative job. He just got up and start walking with Jesus. Just got up and start walking with Jesus. Jesus said, come on, let's go. And he said, all right, let's go. Sometimes saying that you're a member of a church is just not enough. Sometimes saying that you go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, sometimes it's just not enough. Saying that you work in different ministries in the church is sometimes it's just not enough. Saying that you sing in a choir, like this wonderful choir behind me, sometimes it's just not enough. It's just not enough. You have to be obedient to God. Sometimes we become obedient to routine, obedient to what we always have done. Obedient to what our family did, and that's what we gonna do. But we have to be obedient to God. Yes. Obedient to the call of Jesus Christ. In Isaiah, the scripture says, who will I send? Who will go for us? Then Isaiah says, send me, Lord. Send me. Are you saying to the Lord, send me, or call on me, Lord, or are you just paralyzed in the state that you're in? Are you paralyzed to continue your routine? Are you paralyzed in doing just what's normal? Because the new normal is ugly. The new normal is ugly. It was not something we was expecting, but this is what we got to get used to. But the old normal, those house shoes that's real comfortable, that you don't want to throw away or that you know you need to throw away, but they just so comfortable, they made to every toe. They comfort every toe. You know you need to get rid of them. They might not start stinking. You know they need to go. But you're comfortable with them. Sometimes that's how comfortable we get in the church. Everything is comfortable. We get to our regular pew. We come in, we sit down, we don't say much. And we leave out, I've done what I had to do. But that's not obedience to God. We have to be obedient to God. We don't want to be paralyzed like the man in the previous verses of the same chapter. A lot of times I read the chapter and I see the chapter, but I only expound upon one verse. Okay. But in the same chapter, if you go back up to the first part of this chapter, you'll see that there was a man that they let down through the roof who was immobilized and not able to move. The dictionary's meaning for paralyzed means cause a person's part of the body not to move, to be partially or wholly incapable of movement, disabled, immobilized, render someone unable to think or act normally. Some people are paralyzed by the thought of failure or bring a system. This is the one I'm talking about right here. Bring a system, a place, or organization to a standstill. I pray that we are not falling in any of these categories of a paralyzed state. But when three men went to let the man down through the roof, they meant to get into the building. I wonder what would you do when Jesus goes walking down Broadway Street and the call goes forth Is it at once followed by a response of obedience? Or do you see him coming and run inside the church? The response of this disciple is an act of obedience, not a confession of faith in Jesus Christ. See, that's what ours would be, a confession of faith, because we already know him. We already know about him. We got books to read about him. We have lifetime experiences to know who he is. So ours would be a confession of faith. Our following would be a confession of faith. Is it a confession of faith now? I'm just saying what it would be, but I'm asking you now, is it a confession of faith? Are you obedient to God? Are you following God? How could this call of Levi immediately evoke obedience? The story is a mystery, and I kept reading it and reading it and reading it and read further back, trying to see, well, did somebody tell him something or what? But it's a stumbling block for me to bridge these two events, Levi being asked to follow Jesus and Levi getting up and following Jesus. I'm thinking something must have happened, some psychological or historical event. Surely the publican must have known Jesus before. Like I said, ours would be a confession of faith because we already know Jesus. So we gonna follow Jesus, am I right? But he did not know Jesus. I kept going back, trying to read in between the scriptures where they was introduced or where he was somewhere where Jesus was performing miracles. How did he know about Jesus? How did he even know to follow Jesus? It don't say. You know, it doesn't say. I kept reading it. If somebody find it, please, please let me know. Was there a previous acquaintance, which explains why when the master called, he just got up and went. He just got up and went. This displays not the slightest interest in a psychological reason or a meeting reason. It only shows that at the call of Jesus Christ, at the call of Jesus Christ, he just got up and moved. He just got up and moved. Do we get up and move at the call of Jesus Christ? This encounter was absolutely, positively not expected in reading of this scripture, because they was talking about a house that was filled up with people, how a man was lowered down through the roof. First they had to climb up to the roof, tear the roof up, then go back and get the man, drag him up to the roof, and then let him down to the roof. That's what you mean by any means necessary. But it doesn't say like anything like this happened with Matthew and Jesus. It just says Matthew just followed. He just followed Jesus. And the reason why is because Jesus is the Christ. He has the authority to call and to demand obedience to his word at any time. Jesus summons men to follow him, not as a teacher, not as a pattern of a good life, but as the Christ, the Son of God. In this short text, Jesus Christ and his claim are proclaimed to men. Not a word of praise is given to the disciple for his decision to follow Christ. We are not expected to compliment the disciple because it's only him who calls and his absolute authority. According to our text, there's no road to faith or discipleship. No other role. Levi just sitting by the road. And there was a call, and he was obedient to that call. What does the text inform us about the content of discipleship? Jesus says, follow me. Run along behind me. That is all. To follow in his steps is something that is plain as can be. Answer and follow. It gives us no intelligible program for a way of life. No goal or idea to strive after. It's not a cause which human calculation might deem worthy of devotion, even the devotion of ourselves. What happens at the call, Levi leaves all that he has, but not because he thinks he might be doing something worthwhile, but simply for the sake of the call. Levi was not a poor man expecting a greater pay for following Jesus. He was not nobody expecting to get in a better crowd, you know, a better clique, you know, like they have in the church. He was not looking for elevation in society. He was not trying to work downtown in city council, city hall. This act on Levi's part was not the slightest value in itself. It is quite devoid of significance and unworthy of consideration. He is called out and has to forsake his old life in order that he may exist in the strictest sense of the word. The old life is left behind. The scriptures tell us that the old life is left behind, it's dead, and we have become a new person. That's what the scriptures tell us. And completely surrendered. He was completely surrendered at just one question. Come on. Wasn't even a question. Just come on, follow me. Wasn't even a question. The disciple is dragged out of his relative security into a life of absolute insecurity. Actually, it is into absolute security because he's with Jesus, absolute safety because he's with Jesus, absolute fellowship because he's with Jesus, but he didn't know that. He was just called and he just got up and left. From a life which is observable and calculable, now this new life is quite unpredictable. It is a life where everything is barely visible. Jesus didn't go out. I have not read yet, and it might be in there, but I'm just saying I have not read yet where Jesus has a to-do list, where he schedules out his day, put all what he gonna do, every city he gonna go into, how many people he gonna heal, how many people he gonna feed. I don't remember reading him having a to-do list or a schedule on what he is going to do. Jesus just moved through the people and met the need as the need came. He went into a life where everything is by chance. But obedience is necessary. Trust is necessary into a realm of infinite possibilities, which is the one saving reality. Again, it is no universal law that he walked into. See, that is where Jesus operates, though, in the infinite. He operates in the infinite. Scriptures tell us that by God's design, that God stood out in the midst of infinite, stood out in the midst of nothing, which is called ex nihilo, reached down into ex nihilo, into nothing, to pull up nothing, out of nothing, stood and spoke into nothing, and created everything. And he said it was good, and that it was very good. So to follow Jesus, even though you don't have a schedule, even though you don't know what's going to happen next, even though you don't know what Friday's going to be like, to follow Jesus is the right thing to do. but it's going to call for single-minded obedience. Single-minded obedience. I realized the other day that it's too much stuff on the streaming network. I can't even watch it all. That means I got too many streamings. Some of them going to have to go. They're going to have to go. Because they say, this is coming out Friday. This, but you can't get to all of them. There's no way you can get to all of them. You can't even put it on a schedule. Jesus didn't have a schedule. He had the exact opposite of all legality. Levi was stepping out in a commitment, a total commitment to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, completely breaking through every program, every idea, every set of laws for a man to drop it all to follow Jesus without any proof text. You know, we always want some proof text. Show me where it says this or that. He walked out and followed Jesus without any proof text. It's not, he's not heard of, but he went to be a disciple without any knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's not a way of our choosing. It is not the ideal way. But to us, on the same level surface, it is devoid of all the promises. See, a lot of times when people ask you to come join Christ, they'll tell you all the promises, everything that's going to happen. But they don't tell you everything else that's going to happen. Because it's an else stuff that happens. It's an else stuff. Because once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the devil is mad. And he going to be on your tail, running you, trying to get you to come back. But you got to be obedient to the call of God. You have to stay obedient to the call of God. Regardless what it looks like, regardless how the devil set it up, because he's going to set it up real good, because he already know what you like and what you don't like. So he's going to make sure he puts out there what you like. It might be in a different package, but it is what you like. And he's going to put it out there in a different package, but you got to stand still and be obedient to Jesus Christ. And it's not an easy thing. I'm not saying it's easy. So we need to stop telling people it's going to be an easy road once you join Jesus Christ. This road is to salvation, eternal life. But we're going to have some trials and tribulations. But if we're obedient to God, he is there to take care of them all. Every last one. I don't care what it is, what the problem is. He is there to take care of the situation. But you got to be obedient, and you got to trust him. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. You can't trust them thoughts in your head. Trust Jesus. You can't listen to all your friends. Trust Jesus. Talk to Jesus about it, and just trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Discipleship without having failure of thought is not easy. Discipleship without being incapable of movement is not easy. You got to, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you got to move from the fourth pew from the back on the wall side, the third pew from the front on the center side. You know, you have to move from, you got to move out. You have to move out. Sometimes you even got to sit with some different people. Get to know some other people in the church. You could be in a church a long time and not know somebody else been here just as long as you've been there, because you've been sitting in the same spot and they've been sitting in the same spot. Y'all might be compatible with prayer partners and different things. You just don't know because you have not moved out. You have not moved out. You have not answered the call of discipleship. You have not moved out. You just want to wear those comfortable house shoes. But I understand. I understand those house shoes. And they could be ran over. I mean, barely got a sole left on them. That you're still wearing them. Whew, my God, my God, my God. Discipleship in Christ requires an attitude that the three men had, that they were lowering the man down from the roof. Their mind was by any means necessary. We done got him here. We're going to get him in. Have you ever in your life went somewhere and found it too crowded to get in and decided to go to the roof and lower yourself down through the roof? The line was too long. The inside line was too long. Waiting up. We was waiting too long last week at the Longhorn. It was horrible. And then after waiting over an hour, they came and told us, well, it's going to be another 30 minutes before we can call your name, and then an hour after you get to the table. By any means necessary would have been to go into the kitchen. They said it was only one person back there, to go into the kitchen and start cooking. And cook the food for our table. That would have been by any means necessary. These men, they took and got him down to Jesus by any means necessary. And Jesus said, your faith. Because of your faith, because of your obedience, pick up your mat and go on home. Can you imagine being in a crowded room and somebody start coming down through this roof? Coming down through this roof and we barely in here. Here comes somebody coming from the top. And Jesus, quit paying attention to y'all. And tell them to get on up, take your mat and go on home. Yeah. And you wonder, well, my toe still hurt. What I got to do? Come in on the other side of the roof? But they meant to get in there by any means necessary. And I bet we have always read this thinking that these were friends. But I don't remember reading, and I kept on reading that to see where in scripture it said that they were friends. It didn't say that they was friends. It just said the men had him, they grabbed him, they put a hole in the roof, and they put him down. Were these men just called out by Jesus? Were they single-minded, obedient to God? And God said, go get him. But it doesn't say they was friends, didn't say they was cousins, not like the Madisons, you know. That's so cute. The Madisons, I love that. You know, well, you do stuff for family. You do stuff for your friends. It didn't say that. It just said the men got him and they let him down. Are you willing to do whatever has to be done for the kingdom of Jesus Christ? Are you willing? The news continues to say that the school-aged children are behind because of the pandemic.
Yes, they are.
Say that some of them lost their footing. They lost it in areas of their education, their socialization, and some of them are just behind. This is my opinion. I'm not on the news. We are now behind too as Christians. I say that we got to get our zeal back for the kingdom of God. I say that we lost some of our footing. We lost some of our faith in coming into the building. We lost a lot. We lost a lot of people, and we lost a lot just like the kids have lost. So that means by us being adults, we got to press harder. We got to press harder to do what is right. Amen. We can't continue with the church Sunday club as usual. Church Sunday club is not going to work. If we're able, we come into the church building 52 Sundays out of a year. And you can count on one hand how many times Jesus was inside the building. We got to be obedient to the call of God. We got to know what our purpose is. And we got to go ye therefore. We got to start working in the kingdom. We got to put boots on the ground for the kingdom. We have very few children here. We got to go get them. We're going to have to just go get them. When we were accepted by Jesus Christ, he became our personal Savior. There was a cost. A cost of discipleship. When Jesus died for us, there was a cost of salvation. What is the cost we are willing to pay? Those three men were determined to help this person out. Are we going to have that same by any means necessary faith? They were called to respond to Jesus, and they did. Yeah. Do you have that mindset? That's what we're going to need, because it's necessary work out there. Out there, not in here, in the kingdom of God. We need to be single-mindedly focused on the kingdom of God. We need to remember our charge to go ye therefore. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, and whatsoever I have commanded you, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, because Jesus paid the cost. What we need to, what we do is intend to pay. We're gonna pay, you know, like the credit card. We intend to pay. Have we lost our way? Have we lost our hope? Can the Lord count on you? Can the Lord trust you? Can the Lord send you? The scripture said as he passed by, he saw Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth and said, follow me and be my disciple. So he got up and followed him. And the next opportunity, at the next opportunity, can you say, I just got up and I followed Jesus without question? Follow Jesus without needing a reason. Follow Jesus because he is Jesus. I'm here to tell you this morning that if you show up for Jesus, Jesus will show up for you. He is unmoved by life. He is unchanged about his love for you. He is unmoved by your sins. He is undefeated in battle. He is not undone in a crisis. He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced and eased pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He is risen and brings power. He reigns and brings peace. The world can't understand him. Armies can't defeat him. The schools can't explain him. And the leaders can't ignore him. Time is running out. There are pandemics going on. Wars and rumors of wars. Earthquakes. Weather changing. Sickness. I want to hear, well done. I want to hear the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I want to make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That single-minded obedience is the only thing going to get you there. That's what we need. When the Lord says, come on and follow me, don't ask no questions. Just get up and follow him. When the Lord says, who can I send? Say, Lord, send me. Lord, send me. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things that he has done for us. Amen. 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 At this time, we'd like to open up the doors to the church.